Hello again. Welcome to the program. We're continuing in our series today in God's Church Manual, which is 1 and 2 Timothy. Our key verse, 1 Timothy 3:15, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. The word how in the dictionary says that means the manner or the way in which something is to be done. God has given us directions concerning the local church. Today we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 15. Again, a very interesting portion of scripture. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Again, a very interesting portion of scripture. It doesn't matter what part of the Bible we're studying. As we have said before, it is just a bunch of head knowledge unless living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that we do, is a reality in our lives. And so before we we look at the Word of God and let the Word of God look at us, before we do that, let's sincerely make this our prayer. Notice the chorus, O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement did give Thyself for me. I owe no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Let's make this our sincere and honest prayer today.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free, this is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I owe no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading, and give Him my thank you. living for Jesus wherever I am, doing each duty in His holy name, willing to suffer affliction and loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross, living for Jesus through us little while, my dearest treasure, the light of His smile, seeking the lost ones He died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other Master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
Well, here we are in this portion of Scripture where God turns His attention to His authority structure, particularly to do with the local church here. Again, we read this portion of Scripture, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding," here's an interesting verse here, "notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." Now the first thing I want to say is don't shoot the messenger. Here we have the Word of God. It is what God put in His Bible. I'm just the messenger. I said before, I gave the standards that we had for our youth meeting, and if I said, here's the dress standards, because I think it's necessary to do that today with the standards being so totally out of control. And one young lady who happened to be a pastor's daughter, she wrote a note, put it in the offering plate, "I think your standards stink. Man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart." Well, as I mentioned before, first of all, they're not my standards. I didn't write the Bible. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And second of all, God looks on the heart. That's true. But man looks on the outward appearance. If a woman's going to dress like a prostitute, then a man's going to have thoughts that, you know, she's going to cause. The thing is, if your body's not for sale, don't display it. In any event, what we're looking at here is the context of the local church. I put this little building here because we think of a church, we think of a building, maybe 300 or 400 people sitting in a congregation. Back there, they were meeting in the houses or maybe in caves, and they had organized churches. They had a pastor, they had a purpose for meeting, and they had a place in which they met, whether it was at somebody's house. 7 times, at least in the New Testament, it refers to the church that was in their house. In any event, we see here that this portion of Scripture is not really easy to understand. What about this childbearing thing? We will look at it, keeping it in its context. Paul said, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection." It has to do with learning in the local church. Now, the best way to understand Scripture is to compare Scripture with Scripture. The best commentary on Scriptures is the Scriptures. And so what we have here when it says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak," that portion of Scripture is found in 1 Corinthians 14, the subject there that he's talking to these Corinthians, has to do with speaking in tongues. Now, you know the tongues movement, it comes and it goes. If you took the women out of the tongues movement, it'd be dead in 24 hours. "Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak." It has to do, the context has to do with speaking in tongues. However, we see the principle that is established in both these scriptures concerning the position of a woman in the local church as far as authority is concerned. Now, he said in verse 13, Adam was first formed, and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. God could have made the woman first. However, he did not. God does what he wants to do. Now, Genesis 2:20 tells us the woman was made to be an helpmeet for Adam. So basically, God's purpose for a woman is to make her husband successful in God's definition of the word successful. Now, ladies, I think you'll agree you have your hands full right there. I know my wife did. And you probably don't have time to be trying to run things down to church. Now, the situation here is Eve listened to the devil and Adam listened to his wife. Her defense was, "The serpent beguiled me and I did eat. You made the serpent, really, it's your fault." Adam's defense, "The woman, she gave me to eat and I did. She gave me of the tree and I did eat it. You know, you gave me the woman." Yeah, they're arrogantly putting the blame back on God. We do that a lot today. God charged Adam with listening to the advice of his wife to follow her in her sin. You remember when he came in the garden, he said, "Adam, where art thou? Adam, you're supposed to be in charge here in spiritual things." Genesis 3:17, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." Abraham made the same mistake. In Genesis 3:17, we read Abraham hearkened unto the voice of his wife. She said, "Oh, you're supposed to be having a child. I'm not having a child. And maybe you should go into my handmaid Hagar and have a child by her." And the result was the beginning of all the wars in the Middle East to this very day. Both Eve and Sarah started out with a great testimony for God, and both of them changed. We have here the tremendous power of influence. There's two positions. There's one is authority, that would be Abraham. The other was influence, that would be Sarah. What a tremendous influence she had. Now, back to the church at Ephesus. The men and women at Ephesus started out with a good testimony, but they changed. Like the Corinthians, they ignored Paul when he said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." 2 Corinthians 11:3. The Bible says the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now, verse 15, here's this interesting verse. "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." What a tremendous opportunity for the women. The phrase, "she shall be saved," has nothing to do with eternal life. Many times the word "saved" is used in Scripture referring to being saved physically. For example, Acts 27, remember they were in that storm. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, He cannot be saved. Obviously, that has nothing to do with going to heaven. That has something to do with being saved physically. The word saved is also used in Scripture referring to being saved emotionally. Psalm 107:13, He saved them out of their distresses. Jeremiah 6:16, Ask for the old paths, where is a good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Jesus said, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Here we have being saved from emotional problems in the soul. So childbearing. The term childbearing relates to the home. Verse 15 contains the words holiness with sobriety. The word sobriety is only found twice in the Word of God, and it's in this portion of Scripture. First in verse 9, where it deals with a woman's modesty, and again in verse 15, where it deals with a woman teaching her children in the home. Tremendous opportunity. Titus 2, 3 and 6, God again focuses on the home, where we read the aged woman has become with holiness, teach the young woman to be sober, to love their children, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, and keepers at home. Oh, we don't want to do that anymore. Now, what's going on? Kids are going to the devil. Mom and dad are meeting in the driveway as they go to work on two different shifts and can't enjoy that home they thought they both needed to work to get. And over 50% of the marriages are now ending up in divorce. God knows what he's talking about. The context of 1 Timothy 2:15 is used in the sense of a woman not having to be involved in leadership in the local church to be successful. Paul focuses here on the tremendous and very rewarding responsibility of women teaching their children so that they will continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. That's the Bible. Notwithstanding, interesting word, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith with charity and holiness with sobriety. The woman, the word here, notwithstanding, means in spite of, and refers to the fact that in spite of being deceived, the woman can save herself from a life of defeat as a Christian by teaching her children to continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs 31, speaking of the virtuous woman, says her husband, her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. It says her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Well, here's the message and song again, Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Again, the chorus, Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. For thou and thy atonement did give thyself for me. I owe no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and This is the pathway of blessing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. For thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live. O Christ, for thee alone, living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call. And give him my all. Henceforth to